Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you again with a topic that's dear to our heart, one that I was actually genuinely surprised we had not done when you mentioned it.
Yeah. And, you know,
I actually went through and searched our archives to prove we had done it, and no, we had not.
No.
218 episodes to get to this one.
Right.
On the ball we are.
Well, it's like the copyright one took forever to get to,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we obviously are obviously skipping around a bit with these topics.
Yes.
But we're talking about how to start a home haunt.
Right.
And there might just be a little bit of a car alarm there for a minute.
Don't know.
Fuck you, I guess.
Yes.
Everyone, no one that ever says, oh, a car's being stolen when a car alarm goes off.
No.
Anyway, hopefully you guys heard that. Anyways, if you want more car alarm related information, find us at hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Facebook, hauntweekly on Twitter, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We upload the episodes there for your convenience. All 218 episodes are there. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. They make no many promises how many episodes are available there, because I don't really control that.
Right.
That's iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher that control that. All right. Well, before we get into the meat of today's podcast, the main thrust, we have to start the conference reminders. And on that note, I kick it off this week. It's an even-numbered episode. And coming up February 21st through the 23rd in Pomona, California, it's HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo at the Fairplex. We'll also be touring the Asylum Haunted House, lights on and off, and features a costume ball. HauntX.com.
Hey, March 19th through the 22nd, it's Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center. It is co-located this year with Transworld's Christmas Show and the Room Escape Show. They will be touring Darkness, Limp Brewery, and Behind the Scenes Tour. It features a party at City Museum on Thursday, a performance by the Vampire Circus on Friday, and a werewolf ball on Saturday. HaShow.com for more info.
It's HaShow.com.
Yes.
Ha show. Alright, after that, May 15th through the 17th in Portland, Oregon, it's the West Coast Haunters Convention at the Doubletree Hotel, Portland. Touring Fear Haunted House also features a costume ball, a silent auction, and the Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival. HauntersConvention.com for more info.
Okay, then May 15th through the 17th also, the same week, Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. It features a ghost hunt, costume party, and haunted bus house tours. OhioHHC.com to find out what all's going on there.
All right. Then June 5th through the 7th in Schaumburg, Illinois, it's the Midwest Haunters Convention at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel. We'll be touring Abandoned Haunted House Complex, Disturbia, and Evil Intentions via the Lost Souls Bus Tour. Honestly, the Lost Souls Bus Tour is worth admission alone to me.
Yeah.
Also, we'll feature a costume party and a kids' zone, MidwestHauntersConvention.com for the additional deets. Okay, before we kick in, also, we'd like to give an update on our haunt, and I'm kind of glad this week's episode is getting recorded late.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of worked out, because basically, stuff went sideways on Sunday. Crystal came up with the topic and did the show notes, and
yeah,
we had some back and forth on the show notes Sunday, but we just, between illness and people being in town, we did not get a chance to record until too late. So we're doing this now Monday. We're doing it live, basically.
Yeah, basically. Monday after work.
Monday we're live. We're doing it live, and I'm going to run across the hall and edit it right after we record. But the big news with our haunt is we have a street.
Sort of.
With caveats.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to roll this clock back a little bit. I don't remember if last week we talked about getting the new paperwork on our door. I don't think we did. No, that happened after we recorded.
Right.
Basically, they came by, and remember previously we mentioned getting a paper in our mail. I think it was in our mailbox. Actually, I say it was on our door, like they were like Martin Luther nailing into our door. No, but it was stuff in our mailbox. And it's basically, hey, we're doing road work. And I'm like, no fucking shit. We don't have a road. You've been doing road work every goddamn morning at 7 a.m. Why would this week be any special? But it was the exact same paper they gave when they started the project back in November. Mm-hmm. The only difference was they actually scratched out the words next week. It's like, yeah, it's just so classy, guys. So classy. Yeah. And then they proceeded to actually mostly block off our street.
Yes. They used heavy equipment to block it off at one end. Didn't stop people from, like, parking on it, because they could go to the other end.
Or they could get in the other end. Some just drove the fuck around that, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, some of you people work harder at being lazy than you ever would at being a hard worker.
Yeah, I'm just like, I want the street to get done. Don't be parked on it, and they can finish it.
Yeah, if this street is delayed just one day because your lazy asses, I get why you don't trust them. I get why you don't believe them. But if your lazy ass causes us to have dirt road for even a day longer,
you'll be upset.
I will be very cross and may take action. I do not know what that action would shape that action would take.
Yes.
But I may take action.
But as of right now, we do not have a dirt road.
No. What they did is they came by today, and today was unfortunately not a very good working day for me, in part because the constant rumbling of the pavers going by my house. But they did two passes on the opposite side of the street and one pass on ours. Now, they've apparently, according to the neighbor, a boo-boo happened somewhere where a manhole down on our side of the street, but way down, like four houses or five houses down from us, is too high. And they have to remove the base or shorten it or do something, some voodoo with it.
Yeah, they were out there with hammers when I got home.
I've got nothing, folks. I did not have that piece of information when we sat down at the podcast, and I don't know why I'm speechless, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Anyway, so that was the issue they had that stopped them from finishing our side of the street. Now, they're coming back by. We have heard we can drive on it until, but basically right now we have like the derpy street where like half of it is like 2 inches or 3 inches higher than the other.
Right.
So that's kind of fun. But you did park in our driveway for the first time in 2.5 months? Three months almost?
3 months, yeah. Exactly. So that was exciting.
That was fun. I actually literally watched you pull in just for the excitement of seeing the first time we parked in our driveway since November.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was like a little kid and they're bouncing up and down watching me pull into the driveway. It's such a stupid, this sounds so stupid. But we do actually have a street. Now, my first thought a lot of you guys might have is so that definitely means you're on in October, right? Probably. There's two caveats I have to give, though, before I confirm we're 100% all in for Halloween this year. One is, this is a massive road work project with other pieces taking place in the neighborhood. We don't know what the schedule on those are like.
Right.
Hopefully, it's supposed to be all done, but we don't know. And we're going to have to make a judgment call on if we feel like our neighborhood can handle the traffic we bring to it.
Right.
I mean, it barely is able to do it now. I really don't want to like put any additional stress on it. The second problem is that, and the infinite wisdom of road work in this city. The sections, because like I said, Vivian Court is a court. It connects to Huntley Drive at both ends. So it's like a horseshoe with a vertical line connecting the two ends, right? Mm-hmm. Where those lines meet at Huntley are destroyed.
Yeah.
The road went from being bad but survivable.
Passable.
Passable to now being a fucking moonscape.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that little moon rover the astronauts drove would not actually get over this. In part because of the higher gravity, but also because it is a very craterous and very difficult to drive on in any capacity. And I'm anticipating something's going to happen with those sections in the next year or so.
Yeah.
Because the reason they fell apart is because they drove all this heavy equipment over it, and the road was borderline and falling apart beforehand.
Yeah. So now there's craters.
And so what happens when they pave that, and then they screw up the area, you know what I mean? They screw up the area behind it.
Yeah.
It's just
we'll have to deal with all of that later, though.
Yeah. The crux of everything, though, is for the first time in 3 months, we have a road in front of our house, and this also completes Vivian Court.
Yes.
This now will be, hopefully by the end of the day, a full and complete horseshoe.
Yeah.
We will have fully paved road end to end.
Yeah.
And that will be that will be the case for the first time since June.
Yes.
I believe is when this project started. And even though there was a brief break between when they finished the other half and they started ours, I don't really count that because our half got seriously jacked by the construction equipment to pave the other half.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. We'll see. But we'll have a full paved street by the end, hopefully by the end of the day, or hopefully the latest by midday tomorrow. That is great news. I am happy about it. Please, God, let this be the end. That's all I've got to say. You're making this old atheist pray to God. That's how bad the road work has been.
No.
Anyways, so how to start a home lawn? Let's get into the actual topic of the week, now that we're like 11 minutes into the episode. Yeah, this seems weird that we did not do an episode on this previously.
Right, but I realized that if people are asking about it after our talk, which is just one of the questions we got, was what advice would you give somebody wanting to start one, then maybe we haven't talked about
it. And we went, and you went to the archives, I'm sure, and couldn't find an episode to point them to, and we found bits and pieces where we talked about elements
right.
of it. But we've not actually done, like, our guide to starting a home haunt. And honestly, it's very serendipitous, because if you're thinking about starting a home haunt, right now is about the time to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to start a pro haunt, you need to be thinking about that probably in October.
Yeah.
For next year.
Yeah, you can think about it now for next year, but not
you
for this year.
You might be able to get it this year, depending upon how ambitious your project is, but realistically, I would be anticipating opening in 2021.
Right, how ambitious and what the laws and codes are like
in
your area.
Yeah, and where you are, basically, where you're based at. It's very different starting a pro haunt in a very rural place with limited enforcement. Versus trying to start somewhere like here, where there's a lot of codes to follow, and our city's computers still aren't on fucking line after a cyber attack.
Maybe now is the time to start one.
You can't catch what you can't prove.
Exactly.
Don't know what voice that was, but...
whatever.
Anyway, but so the point of the matter remains, now is a great time to think about starting up a home haunt. And like you said, we got questions about this after this. After our talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's actually a completely legitimate question.
Yes.
And in this conversation, we'll be talking about things that we did well.
Yes.
Some of the stuff we did very, very well. And stuff we did and still do, much less well.
Yes.
So we're going to be both praising ourselves and taking shots at ourselves throughout this entire next, 40-ish minutes or whatever.
Yeah, and some of this will be rehashed because, like we said, if you go through all the bits and pieces, you could probably put this one together. But this just puts it conveniently in one place.
So we can point to people, this is our advice in, like, podcast format.
Yeah.
And to that end, I think the first piece of advice I would give, and I agree with you on this, is to look at your local laws in this area. Now, the best piece of advice I would give, honestly, is speak with an attorney.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, and here's the thing. Your friendly local neighborhood attorney probably won't even charge you, or will charge you minimally for this short conversation. You say, look, this is what I want to do. What do I need to know about permit-wise? What can I and can I not do? What insurance issues should I be worrying about? Basically, get the legal stuff put to one side in a neat bucket right away.
Right. Because we didn't know this when we started.
Yeah.
So what we did our very first year in 2005 was we sketched out a plan and we went to the permit office.
Actually, this was for 2006.
This was 2005.
No, we tried to do it for 2006 when we were going to expand it.
Okay.
I remember this because 2005, it was after Katrina. There wasn't a permit office.
Fair enough. Anyway, it was at the old house.
Yeah, it was at the old house. We didn't move here until 2007.
Right. But, so we went to the permit office, and we walked in, and we're like,
we want to do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we want to do this for 3 nights, and we need a permit.
Yeah, what permits do we need?
And they're like, looking at us like we're talking.
Turtle in their mouth.
Yeah, we're talking in alien language. Just like you can't build a permanent. We don't want it to be permanent.
It's not permanent. It's the most temporary of temporaries.
Yeah, exactly.
And we went back and forth for like 10 minutes, and they just looked at us like we were like monkeys staring at a calculus problem. They couldn't figure us out. Like, what are these strange markings?
Yeah.
And we
so basically, they sent us away.
And we called our lawyer at this point
and
said, maybe you can help us with this.
Right.
And he said, actually, the reason they're looking at you stupid is because you're not a business.
Yeah.
And that's basically what he said. And then I put him on speakerphone. He's like, yeah, the reason they're looking at you like a moron is because you're not a business. You don't need permits to do what you're doing. Get the hell out of that permit office before you say something really stupid.
Yeah.
I believe that was his exact comment.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like...
I love, you've already said stupid things. Don't say anything really stupid.
Right.
And so he said, get out of there. And he sat us down sometime later at a bar. We didn't even go to his office for this.
Well, no.
Basically,
by the way, our lawyer is my ex-boss, and we're friends.
We're very close friends. We're not very close, but close-ish friends.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been really good to us, and we try to be really good to him.
Yeah.
In return. In fact, I host his website.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a little tit-for-tat going on. But anyways, long story short, he basically advised us saying, look, these are the things you can and can't do. You can't charge admission, but you can accept donations. But the minute you start charging a ticket price, the minute you start turning in this into a business, you run into trouble. And he said, basically, if you run into any issues with police or permitting, you say this is a private party, just one everyone's invited to, apparently.
Yeah.
And that is the end of it. The fire marshal can't really touch you. The police can't really touch you unless you're blocking the street or being a public nuisance. And, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
And so, yeah, with that in mind, we went forward with newfound confidence, and he turned out to be 100% correct. 15 years later, his advice has panned out pretty well.
Right.
Now,
you mentioned public nuisance.
Yes.
So this next step is really important.
Yes.
Approach your neighbors about what you're wanting to do.
Yeah, whenever we talk about what we do, it seems like the very first question we get is, what do your neighbors think?
Right.
Some format of that question. What do your neighbors think? What do your neighbors do? Do your neighbors complain? And the answer is no.
No.
And to that end, we have a 3-prong strategy that we have used very effectively to never have a significant problem with our neighbors.
Right.
Prong 1, go there proactively. Before you open, before you do anything, go there proactively and explain what you're doing and what's going on.
Yeah.
And the reason is this. It's quite simple. You don't want your neighbors to first realize you run a haunted house, a home haunt, by them opening their fucking window.
Right. Or by them getting hundreds of trick-or-treaters that they didn't have previous years show up at their door.
Yeah. If you warn them in advance and what's going on, you take away that element of surprise that reduces the bad feelings.
Right, exactly.
They can now make a choice. They can turn their porch light off.
Yeah.
They can leave the fucking neighborhood. I know a lot of our neighbors do.
Yeah.
A lot of our neighbors make it a point to go to Halloween parties across the river.
Yeah.
Just they naff off, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. Some of our neighbors sit in the backyard and sip wine and laugh at all the people we scared.
Exactly.
That's fine, too. These are all acceptable solutions to the problem.
Yeah, but you have to realize that this is going to impact your neighbors in some way.
Yeah.
So giving them a heads up before you even build is a great foot. It's a great solid foundation.
And one of the challenges that's been for us is we live in a neighborhood where there's a few rental properties. Most houses here are owned.
Right.
Occupant owned. But there are a few rental properties, and there are a few... Basically, we're in a neighborhood where people don't really track who's moving in and out.
Yeah. Much.
We track.
Yes.
Well, there's a U-Haul at, you know, 28 Vivian or 32 Vivian or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which way is the furniture going? It's going into the house. Okay, we need to wait a day or two and go knock on the door and introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're like 5 houses down from us, but they're still going to be impacted.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I think our general rule is, for in terms of like extending outreach to neighbors, we try to do it on everybody on our side of the court.
Yes. And plus a couple of houses at the end of the block.
Yeah. that on the main road. By traffic, too.
Yeah.
So, and that is a little crazy, because even at our busiest times, there's not a lot of people parking down that far. There's not a lot of activity.
Right.
But it's still enough, and we're worried that we don't want this to be a surprise for them. And, you know, we're very lucky. The neighbors immediately around us are totally down with us.
Yeah.
They've never had a problem with it, and even the neighbors that have had issues with it tend to be further away, but their issues center more around trash in the street and things like that, and we'll get into that in just a minute.
Yeah.
Second prong of the attack. Sorry, I'm still doing the three prongs.
That's okay.
Second prong of the attack is to bring them stuff.
Yes.
Be nice. Now, I've seen two approaches that work.
Right.
One is you can bring them candy and say, here, you can give this candy out to trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
And you can participate in the haunt by being a trick-or-treat house on the same block. That would not work on our street. And the reason is our neighbors were not a big trick-or-treat subdivision before.
No.
Wasn't going to be after, definitely. So even if we brought, you know, like $20 of candy to each house or whatever, it wouldn't change the calculus. They wouldn't do it. So what we do instead is, the second solution is, Ellie loves baking. And so every year, right around September, last weekend of September, first weekend of October, right, the outside display is going up.
Outside display is going up, and we have our flyers in. This is very important.
We go around and we distribute gift baskets of Halloween-related goodies to all the neighbors that have a flyer in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what days we're open, what to expect, but also, here's some yummy, yummy treats.
Exactly.
And we've literally had neighbors come by and ask if there's any more cookies.
Yeah.
After the delivery. That's happened more than once, because she's really good at baking. So, yeah, but that gift, that idea of bringing a peace offering has really helped us, and it's made it so that, A, that further reduces the surprise. This is your second warning.
Right.
But also now, you ate our cookies. You got something out of this. You know?
Yeah.
You got something out of this. Now this is becoming more of a trade than it is relying on your good graces.
Right.
And the third thing, and this is the most important prong, every neighbor has Ellie's phone number.
Yes.
And Ellie has theirs. So it doesn't go to voicemail, because she has the thing where contact...
Right.
Where unknown numbers go to voicemail, so she gets their number too. And the reason for that is, I don't want a neighbor to have an issue like a driveway is blocked.
Yeah.
Or some kids are hanging out in front of their house and not moving on. Like, they've been through the haunt, and they're just standing around in front of their house. I don't want those issues.
Yeah.
And for them to have those kinds of problems, which are very trivial to fix,
mm-hmm.
and then not have anyone to call but the police.
Yeah. That's not what you want.
You know,
and we did have this come up a couple of times before Ellie.
Yeah.
In the BE.
Yeah.
But
this was a lesson we learned.
Yeah, because, you know, one of our neighbor's driveways got blocked. He was upset when he came over. He found our outside crew, and we found the person who was responsible and asked him to move it.
Yeah, it was a quick resolution.
Yeah.
And what we ended up doing with this particular neighbor, because of the nature of his life, basically,
yeah.
The solution we came up for him was Ellie would block his driveway.
Yeah.
Like, literally, Ellie would park and block his driveway. And that way, he had Ellie's number. Ellie, move the car. I got to get out.
Yeah.
And it could be done in like 30 seconds.
Exactly.
And that was a much better solution than anything else, because this was our next door neighbor. But, those solutions have helped. But when you're going around and talking to the neighbors, don't just talk about what you're doing in terms of, what the haunt will be, what you're anticipating. Talk about what you're doing to mitigate the impact on them.
Right.
Tell them, okay, we have, on Halloween night, our busiest night, we have a 3-person road crew plus 2 queue line actors who are able to step in and help.
Yes.
One of them, Ellie, is the general in that zone. She's the adult on site. She has her phone. She will be there, A, to trespass people that need to and kick people off the property. Rarely happens, but she's there if necessary. And she can handle things like blocked driveways and so forth.
Yeah. And our other road crew, directs people where they can park.
Yeah.
And make sure that everybody knows where the trash cans are and that kind of thing.
And that's other things we've done. We've upped the number of trash cans we have by a factor of like 5.
Yeah.
We have added signage both for the photo area, but also saying, please respect our neighbors. Do not block driveways. We are doing this at their good graces.
Right.
Type thing. And we're actually going to get more. I think we're going to get more of those signs printed.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we should get cones to put them in at the edges of the driveways.
Yeah. I would like to do that too for this season. Now that we've got a little bit of extra time because the haunt's done early.
Yeah.
We can do that. That's something that always we've wanted to do, but never really been able to.
Right.
Now we can. But yeah, those three things have gone a long way to keeping things smooth with the neighbors. The only incident we had with neighbors that were pissed at us were once on the Saturday night before Halloween.
Yeah.
We had a Halloween party show up, an apartment complex somewhere nearby. I don't know which one for the life of me. I just know it was an apartment complex. They said the name at some point, I'm sure. I also don't think I care.
No.
And basically we ended up with an extra 100 or so kids that we did not anticipate, which, I mean, the number wasn't the problem. The problem was they had been trick-or-treating in the apartment complex and had brought their Halloween candy, and we did not have all of our trash cans out. That was before we had adequate trash cans to begin with.
Right.
But we didn't have even all of those out.
Right. We didn't foresee this problem happening, where people were going to bring their own candy and eat it in our street and then have nowhere to put the wrappers.
And so they threw the candy wrappers in the street, and there was like a 4-house span of our street literally covered, and I agree, they should have been pissed. They were every right to be pissed.
Yeah.
And they came, and okay, maybe they didn't handle it ideally.
It wasn't covered, but there were more than a few pieces.
There was a lot, and they came and knocked on our door like 7 a.m. on Sunday.
Yeah.
And asked what the hell, and so we got out there, and we went out there with the brooms.
Yeah.
So we have, of course, a small army of push brooms.
Yeah.
And we got it cleaned up in very quick order. It was like 10 minutes.
Yeah. And they're like, I can't believe you were handing out candy last night. And we're like, we didn't.
Yeah, that
We didn't know this was going on.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you didn't hand out the candy?
No.
They were completely surprised. They thought we had handed out candy and not given out trash cans.
And I was like, no. And we actually told them, no, look, they came from an apartment complex party where they were trick-or-treating inside the apartment complex.
Yeah.
That was not our candy. Hey, we don't hand out this trash candy. We have taste.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell this stuff is. We don't buy this.
Yeah.
Even with our cheap candy, we are respectful. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, so no, the neighbors, but see, that was one of the things. When we did that, it flipped the script. Now they went from being pissed off at us to being overjoyed with us.
Yeah.
Because, A, we didn't hand out the candy, but also, we were Johnny on the spot. We were out there within 5 minutes of them alerting us to the problem. Because, honestly, we didn't even see it.
Right, exactly.
It was night. It was dark. And where our house sits, the nearest street light is too far away for us to see the big problem area.
Yeah.
So, it looked like just a dead dark zone to us. We didn't see all these candy wrappers. So, we were surprised by it, too.
Yeah.
So, everyone was surprised, but we got it. But yeah, and one other thing you might want to consider in addition to bringing them cookies and so forth is give them neighbor fast passes.
Yeah.
We don't do this because our neighbors don't go through the haunt usually. Or if they do, they go through it Friday or Saturday night, which is really not as necessary.
Yeah, one of the first two nights, yeah.
Whatever the first two nights are, they usually go through then. And the result of that is they don't need it. But if a neighbor came up to us and said, hey, can I go through the haunt? Absolutely, they could skip the line. I don't allow line skips normally. In fact, I've actually done this once. I did it when the firemen came and surprised the fuck out of us that one year.
Yeah.
I Bernie said, ladies and gentlemen, I have never in the history of this haunt allowed someone to skip a line, but we have 4 members of the New Orleans Fire Department that have graced us with our, would you mind if they go in? And everyone's cheering for the fire. The fireman felt great and went in. It was a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
You turn us into, and I would do the same thing for the neighbor. This is our neighbor right here. Please give her a round of applause for putting up with us at this time of year.
Yeah.
You make them, you make it a happy thing. I would absolutely do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Okay. The next rule, the one that we're really goddamn bad at.
Yeah.
I don't know why you put this in here other than to shame our asses.
Because it's good for other people to keep in mind.
It's to create a budget and stick to it.
Yeah.
We're going to get into details a little bit lower down in terms of what you should be buying and how you should be estimating your budget. But one of the things you should be doing is before you start, you should really create a budget. And here's the thing. If you find that you can't build the haunt you want to build on the budget you have for that first year, that's okay. Don't open the haunt that year. Make your panels, save it, do it, put it aside. You can put it up next year.
Yeah. Take either that 2 years to do it. Or do a compromise and do a smaller show.
Yeah,
do a smaller. That way you start, if you're just starting out, then you're starting with something. But then you can expand it to a bigger show the next year, closer to what you wanted.
This is advice where you definitely should do as we say, not as we do.
Right.
It's only recently we've been able to get our haunt budget more under control.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's because we've spent so much and gotten so much that we can reuse.
Yes.
That we don't need to spend as much.
Exactly.
We set a $1,000 budget for the haunt for us every year. I don't think last year we used $1,000 inside the haunt.
We built the queue line. And we built...
Yeah, the queue line was about $400 and change.
Yeah. I don't know. It would be close because we also we bought a lot of plywood to reskin walls and had to redo some frames and stuff.
But those were both optional things ultimately.
Yeah. But I don't expect on the next build cycle to be anywhere near that.
No.
But we also have all of the haunt visits we do, which is another $1,500 that we set aside.
Yeah. But yeah, creating a budget and sticking to it. Like I said, when we first started out, we were even more broke than we are now.
Yeah.
And we were doing this on much smaller budgets. And even then, we were putting a lot of it on credit cards, which is a terrible thing to do.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't be like us.
Do this with your surplus income.
Yeah, don't be like young, stupid us. Hey, I want to do this. It sounds really cool. Let's do it. How are we going to pay for it? I don't know.
And as far as the best tip for creating a budget and sticking to it is to build with things you can reuse.
Right.
Because I am surprised at the number of home haunts that have to completely restart the next year.
Yeah.
Because they don't build with proper materials.
Right. Well, and I mean, it's not just home haunts. The,
Blackpro wants to do this too,
The Lafitte Fire Department, whenever we were going there, they had... tarp walls, and we kept telling them, you know, you should really invest in real walls, and they finally did.
And they thanked us.
Yes, they were like, wow, this is so much better, because they are a build in 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, and it's no more difficult to build a tarp tunnel out of PVC and tarp than it is to just screw together panels that you've pre-made.
Right.
And you just get to store it, and what they did is they got like a... one of those storage unit.
A shipping container.
It was a shipping container. Is the name of
that
it
that was given to them.
They got their hands on a shipping container, which it was probably pretty easy for them to do because of where they're located.
Yeah.
They got a shipping container, and they just made panels and just threw them into the shipping container. And when it came time to set the haunts, jeep, 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 jeep.
Yeah. That was the sound of a drill. In case you didn't get that.
Yeah. Or an impact driver.
Yeah.
Your next thing on the list is make a diagram of the space that your haunt will be in. And this is something, goes back to our CAD episode.
Right.
We did a couple episodes where we talked about CAD.
Yeah.
And honestly, the idea here is you want sort of the space in a CAD file that you can just open up each year and start designing and laying out your haunt.
Yeah.
And if it's your yard, a CAD of your yard.
Mm-hmm.
And this will save you a lot of time in the design process. And I don't think enough home haunts invest time in the design side.
Yeah, I don't know, because there are so few in our area that I don't know how much goes into the design side of it. But there, you know, I would love to, like, have our garage in Lego. We could just like move the pieces around. This is how many feet we have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that way you can check your walkways, you can play with your lighting and do all this stuff in, you know, the CAD software or in, you know, some people even use cardboard to make these. But you want to make something that's going to be able to be reused year after year. So you can say, oh, this didn't work. We need to, what if I move it here? How does that change the flow? How does that change the space?
Yeah, I find it easier to do it in a computer.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
One excellent tip that you put in here was if you have a partner or family member that's not a part of the haunt, make sure to schedule weekly activities with them that don't involve the haunt.
Right, exactly.
Like, when we brought Ellie into the house, this was something we had to learn. Because it used to be, when it was just the two of us, the haunt was our together time.
Yeah, exactly.
You would come home from work, we'd get dinner, we'd go out and work in the haunt. And then, by the time we got done working in the haunt, we needed some alone time.
Yeah.
we need to separate a little bit.
Exactly.
We spent too much goddamn time together in too much of an intense situation.
Yeah. And that's still true.
It's still kind of true. But with Ellie, we had to remember to take time. And for us, it's every Wednesday she has a knitting or a crafting group we go to.
Yeah.
At least that with her every week.
Yeah.
Just so we can spend time with her and basically, you know, keep that side of the relationship going and healthy. Because, I mean, she literally founded the Facebook group Haunt Widows.
Yes.
For a reason. And that's because she was a haunt widow and still is most seasons, even though she jokes that she became a haunt widow in January this year.
Yeah, we...
You're not wrong.
Yeah, we try, but
I think we're better than some.
We're definitely better than when we started.
Yeah, definitely.
Than when she first joined, so...
In the same vein, if you're going to... Before you start building...
Mm-hmm.
And this is all stuff before you're building, by the way.
Yeah.
But I should have made that clear in the earlier. This is all the stuff before you start building.
Yeah.
Make a decision if you're going to do animatronics or actor-based. I personally have never been to an animatronic-oriented haunt that was anything greater than interesting.
Yeah.
So I personally think you should be actor-based. But if you're going to be actor-based, you need to start recruiting literally from the very minute you decide you're going to do a haunted house.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you bring people in on the ground floor and they help you that first year, they're going to be there forever.
They're going to be there for a long time at least.
Yeah.
And the more they help with the build, the more they invest early in the haunt's life cycle, the more motivation they have to show up when you're open.
Right. So they could say, I helped from the first year to this year.
This is your chance to build your haunt family from day one. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, and, you know, we give out 5 and 10 year, now 10 year.
10 year awards and everything.
Awards and stuff, so that, you know, people who have been with us, they get those big monumental things for themselves, they can display.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, this is your chance now to start building. Don't wait until a week before to start recruiting. That is a huge and very common mistake we see.
Yeah.
Because A, you had a lot of people who say they're going to be there, but not a lot of people will actually be there. People are fucking flaky is the one thing I've learned running a home haunt.
Right.
The number of people who have showed up for the gig, who have said they're going to show up for the gig versus the number of people who actually did, you know, it's about 2 to 1.
It is. And, you know, your first years are going to be the hardest to keep to get a crew together and keep it together. Unless you've already got a group of friends and family who are willing to be there, which is how we started. My family came down.
And if you got that, get them involved now. Yeah. Get them involved day one.
Exactly.
Trust me, you don't want to take this whole burden onto yourself.
No.
And, yeah. And that leads us to the actual build part of it. And this ties back into what we were saying with creating a budget and sticking to it and trying, you know, not to go too crazy with things.
Right.
With the actual build, there's a few things we always recommend. First is invest in good quality tools and materials.
Yes. We did not do this. We invested in what we could afford. We have since upgraded. We did a whole episode on our upgrades recently. Yeah. Our best and worst purchases.
Yeah, and...
Go ahead.
The main thing I would say here is, one, whatever tool set you have for just around the house...
Yeah.
...probably is not adequate for building the haunt.
Yeah. Unless you can't afford to upgrade right then and you already have some that are decent. I mean, yeah, you can use them for 1 year.
Yeah, but I would be eyeing an upgrade pretty quickly, because building a home haunt of any real size, even like our, like I said, 625 square feet, even that.
Yeah.
Requires some pretty significant power tools. And part of the reason is because in the process of building a haunt, you're not exactly doing carpentry and metalwork as intended.
Right. No. No, those rules go out the window.
The first time you take an angle grinder or a reciprocating saw to the rail of a sliding door to get the better length for you, because you realize, oh, wait, this was meant to be on the outside, not the inside.
Yeah.
The minute you do that, you realize, yeah, you kind of need some hardcore tools.
Yeah.
You need something that can kick at least a moderate amount of butt. Mm. And for us, we used, like I said, we mentioned this previously, we used the Craftsman C3 tools for a few years. They got us by.
Yeah.
But we noticed they weren't holding a charge. They weren't running a whole day. Switched to Makita tools. We've been happy with those. I know people who swear by DeWalt and Milwaukee as well.
No.
I think once you get into that contractor, or at least high prosumer grade tools, you're probably going to be fine.
Yeah, and my actual answer to the question at Hong Kong was build real walls.
Yeah.
And that was my first thing. And that's 2x4 with a plywood skin on it.
I know some haunts do 2x2 panels. I don't know how you make that stuff stand other than like gaffy tape and...
Yeah, I don't.
Hopes and prayers of small children.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. And the other reason is, if you are intending to scare people, not be one of those cheesy little home haunts that the people talk about. If you are intending to scare people, your walls...
And get unpredictable reactions.
And get unpredictable reactions, your walls will be hit.
Yeah.
At some point. Also, just to note... whenever you're building outside, build with pressure treated stuff.
Yeah, build with stuff meant for outside.
Seems obvious, but we've heard several people who don't.
Yeah, there was a talk at HauntCon a few years ago from someone who couldn't figure out why he had to replace all of his outdoor lumber every year.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't building with pressure treating ground contact lumber.
Yeah, exactly. But that being said, don't use pressure treated stuff inside. Because that's a fire problem.
Yeah, and that is ultimately what I think the biggest recommendation I have is build with real walls, but most importantly, build like you're building a professional haunted house.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of those things you think of from the beginning.
Yeah.
Is, are you going to just always be a home haunt that is loose with the rules and stuff? Or are you going to build it like one day you could just open up professional?
Yeah.
And that goes into not only your build quality, but how you treat your actors and what rules you set down for them, and anybody else that's helping you.
Yeah. And it also deals with issues of safety and fire code compliance.
Right.
Even though, like I mentioned previously, the fire marshal locally can't touch us.
Right.
And we, like I said, heard this from a lawyer. We've heard this from others, too. We can't be touched. That said, we still build the fire code compliance.
Yes.
We still have the 36-inch walkway. We still have the fire extinguishers and smoke detectors in every room. We still have the fire retardant coating on all of the fabrics.
Right.
We still keep a burn book to show that we did this.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the last projects we're going to do this season is all that, because we didn't do it for HauntCon. Shh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shh. Don't tell them.
Yeah.
We didn't do it for HauntCon, but we're going to do it before we open for real. And realistically, with a haunt our size, it doesn't take very long to do all that stuff.
No.
We did actually have the fire extinguishers in every room.
Yes.
And I love the fact we forgot to tell the actor actors where the fire extinguishers were. We actually did put them exactly in the right place.
Right.
But apparently our girl in the gore box had no idea her foot was literally by a fire extinguisher the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
Literally, if she'd just done like this motion with her foot, kicking her foot sideways, she would have knocked it over.
Yeah.
Ugh. Can't believe we forgot to mention that.
Yeah, so when you're building, you know, think of the fire safety and safety in general. Make sure that you get with everybody involved and make them aware of the plans if stuff goes wrong, because sometimes it will.
Yeah.
I mean, something will go wrong. And, you know, I think of our shows now versus the ones in the beginning. And in the beginning, we would cheap out occasionally on materials. Mm-hmm. And stuff would break during show, and I'd be up there, you know, Bernie, I need 10 minutes. I got to get a ladder and a drill and fix all this stuff. And now we build much more smartly so that we don't have to do that.
And one of the rules that we found works for us is to like set up every wall so we can take 1,000 pounds of force.
Yeah.
You can literally get a full head of steam and ideally a football helmet or something.
Yeah.
And crash right into many of our walls. And not damage the wall.
Yeah.
You might knock over something that's next to it or on it or something like that.
Right.
But you're not going to damage the wall.
Probably not even that now.
Not even that now, yeah. But theoretically, you could have in the past, especially. Yeah. The point to it is, we build that way so we don't have issues when we're open. But also so that, like you said, if we, you know, decided we wanted to go pro tomorrow, we don't have to learn any new building techniques.
Right. And we don't have to train our actors to be on their best behavior when
it's
open. We
have to recruit more of them. But yeah. Now we have our team that can train them.
Exactly.
We're ready-made to go pro anytime we get the money and the resources and the desire to do it.
Right.
I definitely think we lack the desire, but you know what I mean?
You think we lack that?
No, the desire to make the effort to go pro. If someone hands us the opportunity, we would have to think about it, but...
Yeah.
But honestly, in terms of, like, seeking it out and trying to force it to happen...
Yeah.
I think we lost the itch on that a while back. We did a whole podcast about why we don't go pro.
Yeah.
And I think all the reasons in there still stand.
They do.
But yeah, by doing that, yes, it is a more difficult build. Yes, it takes significantly longer. We build for at least 6 weeks.
Right.
Each year, and we do design for probably a month or two before that. Yes, it takes a lot of time, but it reduces problems during show. It makes sure everyone, including our actors and our visitors, are safe. And it's kept us open for 15 years.
With no accidents.
No, we have never busted out the first aid kit.
No.
That's something that always blows people away. We've gone 15 years. We've put through over 10,000 people through that haunt. Not even the first aid kit's come out.
Nope.
Not once. No boo-boos, no bandages. Now, we've had times where I could have sworn we were going to have to.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
been a couple of people that did some exceptionally stupid things that should have injured someone.
And one or
no
two
fault of ours.
Right. And one or two pair of glasses that their friends stepped on after they fell off their face.
But no injuries. And that's just it. And I think that's the main thing to get through this is we basically built this haunt from day one with the idea that we were going to build as close to a professional haunt as we could in the space we had and the budget we had and the skills we had, too.
Right.
We were going to get as close as we could in every respect, not just appearance, in every respect.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to operate, and that also includes, like you said, dealing with the actors. It talks about dealing with fire safety issues. Every
right.
way, we were going to be as close to a professional haunt as we could get.
Yeah, and I will say those first couple of years, we weren't as strict with our actors as we are now.
And we paid dearly for it.
We did. We've lost people over the years and had to let people go because, you know, one actor, I was just talking about this the other day with the guests that were in town. He would show up and he would have a beer and then he would go to scare.
Yeah, he wouldn't even have like the beer in front of us.
No.
He would nap off somewhere else and do it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, open at night, I hear, "Ooh, you smell like beer. Can I have one of those?" And I'm like, look, you're done for the show. Don't come back tomorrow if you have been drinking. And he came back and he still smelled like beer. So we had to let him go.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is somebody who had been with us since the beginning and was a friend before the haunt even existed and just isn't part of our life.
Yeah. Well, he's not part of our life for a lot of other reasons, too.
Yes.
That we're not going into.
That's true. But I mean, yeah, that...
But the point remains, though, I guess if you're looking to start a home haunt, the best piece of advice I can give you is don't start it with the mindset of, I'm going to build a home haunt.
Right.
Start it with the mindset, I'm going to build as close to a professional haunt at my house that I can.
Yeah. And that is a different switch.
That's a real switch, because if you just, oh, we're just a home haunt, you open the door to doing a bunch of wild and crazy and wacky shit, but it's shit that can get you shut down, it is shit that can hurt people, and frankly, it's shit that's not a lot more scary in a lot of times.
Right. Or it's scary for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
It's actually dangerous.
Yeah. So we started that mentality of, if we have to put people in actual danger to scare them, we're not doing it right. Like I said, 15 years, knock on wood, never even broke out the first aid kit, no injuries, no cuts, no boo-boos, no scrapes of significance.
No.
I'm sure some people gained a few bruises crashing into those 1,000-pound test walls.
Yeah, maybe some skinned knees.
Maybe some skinned knees here and there, but
running.
No one asked for a Band-Aid at any point.
No.
All in all, if you start with that mentality of, we're going to build as close to a professional haunt as we can with the resources and skills we have, and you're going to do a much better job. And that's going to not just make your haunt safer, it's not just going to make your haunt better. It's also it's ultimately just going to prevent you from getting shut down. It's going to ensure it's a long-running haunt. Because if someone gets hurt and you get sued, even if you win, you're probably not going to open back up.
Right.
Lawsuits are expensive.
They are.
What you want to do is avoid these problems. And the best way to avoid those problems is to treat your home haunt like a professional one, as much like a professional one as you can.
Yes. And respect your neighbors.
And respect your neighbors, yeah.
Because it only takes one to shut you down.
Yeah. One cranky neighbor will shut you down. And our biggest haunted house fan on our block...
Mm-hmm.
Is Ms. Marie, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Ms. Marie, she is, she's not our direct neighbor. She's on the other side of one of the houses.
Yeah.
She is, I swear, 3 million years old.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
Her and Betty White both attended the Invention of Fire. But she is super old, and she is obviously suffering from dementia. But mm-hmm. I remember I stopped in on her one day. Not that long ago. And the first thing she said to me was, why didn't y'all have your haunted house this year?
Yeah.
I was so sad.
Yeah.
Like, we couldn't because of the road. Oh, that's right. The road work. Yes, Ms. Maria. She is so sweet and so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I you know.
You know, it's just because we didn't give her cookies.
That is true. God damn it, you're right. We didn't give her cookies either. Crystal for the win. Well, on that note, everyone, free cookies for everyone that follows Haunt Weekly at Face. No, no. Okay.
No.
No. But definitely do take a moment and follow us at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We're also available on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. We're probably hanging out somewhere deep in the bowels of those.
Yes.
Yeah. Run your home haunt like a pro one. Be kind to your neighbors.
That's it.
Really? You listened to like a 40 minutes of us babbling for just those 2 points. Well, I realize we could have shortened this a lot. On that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly episode 218, talking about how to start a home haunt. We will see you guys next week with a full road, most likely. There was much rejoicing!
Yay!
Yay! We'll see you then.